Okay, question three. I think we've talked a lot about this. What is the penalty for not forgiving others? One is what Linda just mentioned. There's a phrase in, I think it's in verse 35. I looked up all the versions because to me this phrase is the key of the whole parable. The American Standard Version says, "So shall also." The King James says, "So likewise shall." The New King James says, "So also will." And the New American Standard says, "Will also." So God will so deliver to the tormentors the unforgiving. Did y'all have anything besides what Linda said and what I said?
I've had people ask me, does this mean God forgave you and then he called you back into account for what he forgave you for? Because that's what this man did. That's what happened to this man. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure of the answer to that. Somebody, I mean, when you go to hell, you're in hell.
Yeah.
And so, but I don't know. But that's what this man did. He had been forgiven. The man had been forgiven. And now God called him into account. Or, well, not God, but his master. And God said, this is what I will be. So,
well, this is just what comes. God forgave him for the debt. But then when he, later on, what you're talking about, it wasn't for the debt, it was for his lack of mercy and compassion. Isn't that right? So that's what he was getting punished for. Anybody have a comment on that?
That's called him wicked, and that to me connotes that it's just not, it's more than a rash action. It's more than just, you know, something you might have done one time, you know, his heart, you know, his faith failed or something. You know, sometimes we do something rashly, but our heart is not wicked towards God. We're not ungodly, so therefore, you know, we can't turn. But wicked is, to me, is in the service of the devil.
Yeah.
And maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But he does use the word wicked. This is how God looked at it. So, you know, lest I become wicked in God's sight, I better have a heart for forgiveness. But you know, like I say, we can fail, but if we repent, thank God, you know, he will forgive us. But evidently, this lady that Jesus is talking about has a heart that's hard, and it doesn't look to them.
You know, in the parable, along with what you're saying, Linda, it says he grabbed him by the throat and said, "You pay me right now."
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree with everything that was said, but the man was wicked. But he was you have to repay all that you owe. He was being called into account for his debt. His debt had been forgiven, but now he has to pay it. He's going to be left with the torture.
That's right.
Everything is paid. So his punishment was based on the on what he had been forgiven.
Along with everything we've said, Jeremiah 31:34 says, "For I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more." And Jeremiah was talking about the new covenant that God was going to make with Israel. And that's I think that's repeated in Hebrews 8:12. So then I ask you, if our forgiveness should be in direct proportion to the incredible amount that we have been forgiven, how often should we be willing to forgive? Did that question make sense? Okay.
As often as anybody asks us for forgiveness, we should forgive.
Think about, I think everybody has one area, and we talked about this before, that we have trouble with. I know I have one more so than others. And how often do we do something and say, man, haven't I learned anything? And how many times has God forgiven us for that same thing? And if some, well, I don't want to jump ahead, we'll talk about this in a minute, about if someone comes to you. So, over and over. It goes back to verse 22. We can never catch up with how many times God has forgiven us. Any comments on number four?
Sometimes we get tired of forgiving people when they do the same thing over and over. And, you know, we just go, well, that's just them. They're going to do it again. But if we have that attitude God's going to have about us. And that's the hard thing for me, is guarding my heart, because God's going to, so what's in my heart is how God's going to judge me. And that's scary.
I think we have a lack, sometimes, I'm not saying always, we have a lack of understanding and compassion. And we, if it's not something that gives us a problem, it's simple. And we say, why can't they learn? Why can't they get this when we have something else that we can't get? Okay, I wanted to talk about some things that have to do with forgiving. If we don't want to forgive someone or have trouble with it, bitterness or resentment can have an effect on our health. And this is not a reason why we should forgive. We should forgive because God forgives us. We should forgive because I think of it as a commandment. When Jesus says you must do it, we're going to read in a minute. But that's just something to consider. We don't want to, and bitterness is a sin in itself, and so is resentment. And I wanted to mention, what can we do to earn God's forgiveness? We can't do anything. He's going to forgive us if we come to Him and repent. And so I wanted to ask you, are we in this boat? If somebody needs our forgiveness, what do other persons have to do to earn our forgiveness? What do we require before we forgive someone that maybe, you know, sometimes it comes down to they hurt my feelings, I've been offended. It's not just a simple matter where they ask for forgiveness and we give it. Sometimes we say, well, I'm not going to forgive them until this. So we don't want to be in that boat.
Well, there's also, I've heard people say, I can't forgive them. I don't care what they do, I can never forgive them for what they've done.
And that goes back to everything you said. What if God...
And it eats them up, their, you know...
And affects their health. The thing about affecting your health, that's not why we should forgive, but how are we going to be the right kind of service if we get bitter and resentful and it affects our health? That's what that has to do with, to
well,
me.
Even if it doesn't affect your health center, it affects your service.
Yeah.
You may not get sick because you can. That can, you know, stress and all that tend to do all kinds of things to it. But sometimes it doesn't bother people. They're just mad and they go on the rest of their life and they live a long, healthy life. But they're still bitter about something that happened 30 or 40 years ago. And they cannot let it go. They will not let it go.
Mm-hmm. And some of the problem, we started the class in Matthew 18, up above there and 15 down. Sometimes the problem is never addressed. You have a brother that sins against you. You go to him and you talk about it. And you rebuke him or you reprove him or you show him what he's done. He doesn't listen to you. They belong to some people that you know with you as witnesses to that. If he doesn't listen, you take it to the church. If he doesn't listen to the church, you treat him as a Gentile and a publican. That doesn't mean you're mean to them. That doesn't mean you don't pray for them. That doesn't mean that you don't do good to them if they fall into need. But there's a different relationship. You just don't whitewash it. And, and you don't become bitter by it. That's your part. But what this other person needs to do, if they fail to do that, Jesus has said, you treat them as a covenant. And So it is, there is a responsibility on the person who has been accused, just like there's a responsibility to us to do something because we sin and we need to beg the mercy of God. And so, you know, I had occasion in my life that they have bitterness, you address it. They have problems, and so they say things ugly about you. They do things to hurt you. So you talk to them about it, you try to resolve it. They won't have any part of it, and they have no repenting heart. So what do? You get on with your life, you pray for them, and you go on. You can't make that right. Not for them.
Something else we need to be careful of is the opposite end of that. If someone has wronged you, then you have the responsibility of bringing that to their attention. Maybe they don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't not forgive them of something that they don't even know that they need to ask forgiveness of.
Right.
You know, a lot of times, I think for us who are more passive aggressive, that's a problem because, you know, it's hard for me. I'm not good at confrontation. So it's hard for me to go to that person and say, we need to sit down and talk about something, you know. So the opposite end of that is also true, that you have to be willing to go to that person and say, hey, you know, we need to talk.
I think more people are not good at confrontation than those that are. And even those that are, I would say, are good at it, they would say it doesn't come easy. And it looks easy on this side, but they would say it's not easy. So we do have to do what's right. Sacrifice of Jesus was needed in order for our forgiveness to be possible. Look at 1 John 4. We looked at this last week, but it just kind of hits the nail on the head. Susan Dunbar, would you read verse 10 and 11?
And this is love, not that we love God, but that He loves us and sent His Son to be propitiation for our sins. Beloved, God so loved us, we also ought to love one another.
So, because God was the propitiation for us, He took our place for sin. We should love one another, and that love is the forgiving that we're talking about when they've asked for forgiveness. Look at Ephesians 4. We know that the first part of Ephesians is talking about, the first chapter 1 through 3 is talking about the spiritual that we have in Christ. And then 4 through 6 is talking about our walk. The very first word, almost the very first word in chapter 4 is therefore. That therefore refers to everything in chapter 1 through 3. So, Melissa, would you read 4:32 through 5:2?
Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma.
So verse 32 is part of a list of things that we need to have in our lives and to do for our walk. And then verse 1 says we need to imitate God as dear children. And I'm applying the forgiveness in verse 32 to imitating God. He forgave us that we've already talked about, so we need to forgive people that ask for it. I look at, I think, the parallel passage in Colossians 3. Notice in verse 1, seek those things which are above. Verse 2 says, set your mind on things above. Verse 10, put on the new man. And then verse 12, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. And then verse 14 says, put on love. Lauren, would you read verse 12 and 13?
Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do.
So this makes the same point. And this is where, now must is in italics in my Bible, but Paul says you must do this. So that's everything we've talked about. This is not a choice. This is something God expects us to do. And as already been mentioned, we want to be forgiven by God and by others for the things that we do.
Well, the you also part is not a talent, just the must do it. At least in my what version do you use?
New King James.
Oh, okay.
You also, are you saying you also is in italics?
It's not in italics.
Oh,
just
okay.
Must do.
Right.
So you could say, so you also means the same thing.
Do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you take must out.
Yeah.
The point
is, must do is in italics. So even if you just say, Christ forgave you, so you also. I mean, you can get the meaning of it without the italicized words. So
right. And this, to me, I mean, it's, in fact, okay, that's commandments of men. I'm over, I just saw commandments in chapter 2, but that's talking about the commandments of men, that's something else. So I, you know, I consider this to be right up there with a commandment. As Lauren made the point, so you also do, even without must. And that's what we've been talking about. Any other comments on forgiveness?
One of the things under here in Colossians 3, verse 8 says, but now also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you've laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on new. So it's not enough to just say, I put on the new man. I've got to put some bad things I've got to leave behind. And that bitterness and anger and all those things are part of that. When we become Christians, we become like Christ. And Christ forgives us. No matter how ugly a thing is, nobody could have done anything any uglier than David. Take a man's wife, have him killed, but God forgave him. Mm-hmm. And so there's nothing that I can think of anybody could ever do to me that I could not forgive them for if they repented. That I should not forgive them. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it'd be easy, but
yeah.
It makes it easier when we think about what we've done to God, and I think that's the point here. That's one of the main points of forgiving.
And again, Ephesians 1 through 3, think about all the blessings that we have in Christ, all the things that He has done for us.
Also, there in Colossians 3, Sandra, you know, and we've studied it before, forbearing one another. Suffer under. So often we're so quick to jump at every little word, every little passing phrase, you know, they hurt my feelings, you know, and the person, I mean, do we need to go to them every time, you know, you think somebody said something, or do we have the attitude towards one another, give them the benefit of the doubt, love them enough? It's not important. Some things which is not important, you know, and you know their character, you know they love you. it could have been just something in passing, or you might have taken it the wrong way. Sometimes you just let it go in love and don't dwell on it, you know. We need to dwell on it. We need to suffer some of those things. Yes, we need to go to them if you think it's a sin against you, especially if they're spreading something, you know, or if they said something to others, you know, that may not be true, then you will review. But all of us have had occasions where someone has misspoke or said something, and we just need to have a heart of compassion and bear it and love them and go on. Mm-hmm. You know, that's maturity. It's not being childish about every little thing that's said or they hurt my feelings, you know? Because there'll be a kid say, you hurt my feelings, you know? Well,
you can't be more like children. They're out there fighting 1 minute, the next minute to play like that.
Yeah. Well, we went a little bit over, but all the other lessons have been short, so. Okay. Anything else we need to mention that y'all thought of? Lauren, do you have lessons that